Well, welcome everybody to the second Sunday of Easter. It's still part of the octave of Easter, the Easter celebration of the church. It's also Divine Mercy Sunday, where we remember and celebrate God's abundant love and mercy toward all of us through all time and through all ages. And welcome to all our visitors. I know some are coming in for that eclipse tomorrow. And so welcome to our baptismal family. Such a wonderful thing. This eclipse, I haven't seen one, but I believe. I have faith on the word of some people that seem to know what they're talking about, and astronomers, that this is going to happen. So I believe and I have faith that this will occur. And tomorrow I will have an experience, personal experience of an eclipse. You know, in history, there's a lot of things we take by faith. A family member did a genealogy of my mother's French-Canadian heritage, and they went back to the 1700s and found that there were some lumberjacks that came over from France and came to Canada. You know, I believe, on the word of some good people, there was also probably some historical artifacts, you know, that could kind of verify that. But there's so many things like that. And we have the gospel writers. They left us in the scriptures that testimony to Jesus' appearances. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all tell it in different ways so that we might believe. In looking at it, I believe there was at least 13 different references to Jesus' appearance to the disciples, and even to one occasion over 500 of him being resurrected in the body. John's gospel today, he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written down in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through this belief you may have life in his name." John wrote his gospel in a particular way. He shared seven signs that Jesus was the Messiah: turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana, healing an official's son near death, healing the lame man by the pool, feeding 5,000, walking on water, healing the man born blind, and just before his own passion, raising Lazarus from the dead. And then John portrays in his gospel the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Mary Magdalene is the one to see this and meet the Lord and then run to the disciples and to let them know. And they didn't believe. But then Jesus finally came and met with them. And then there's Thomas, poor Thomas, who gets that Doubting Thomas label. Saint Gregory the Great wrote that this was God's plan from the beginning, that Thomas wouldn't be there in that first time. Why? So he could go through what we all do. We need to see proof. And Jesus was able, in his occasion, to give him a special grace to see proof of the bodily risen Jesus. But Jesus says to us, "Blessed are all those who have not seen and have believed." That's our situation. Now, these are the references and evidence of Jesus' bodily resurrection in the scriptures, but there's also evidence of the apostles doing the work of Jesus himself. They were afraid, they were cowering, and then now they're going out. This week in Acts of the Apostles, just before this passage about the early community, Peter and John are able to go into Jerusalem to the temple. They heal a lame man at the gate. This man could be put at the gate. He was not allowed inside. He had he was blemished. He was unclean. So he couldn't be inside and worship with the community. But they healed him in the name of Jesus. And the man got up and walked and was jumping and leaping all through the temple. He was now restored to worship with the community. So the apostles demonstrated great power and won favor with the people. And then in our reading today from Acts, this is where I want to focus. The first Christian community started coming together. They were able to be of one heart and one mind. There was unity there, centered on Jesus, the cornerstone, that first block of the building of the living temple, which has now grown to include all of us here today. And that mind, it reminds me of Paul's writing in Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, that Jesus did not grasp equality with God, but he became a servant of all. And in this community, you see them becoming servants of one another. There was no one in need. And in that community, relationships were transformed. Husbands and wives, their relationship was changed. In that society, the father was God. The father could dismiss a wife, kill a kid. Nobody would ask questions because that was the authority. But Paul was the one who said, husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Be mutually submissive. Your body belongs to one another. Paul gets a lot of crap for being a misogynist, but not really. He's probably the first person in that culture to speak a radical message of equal dignity in Christ. And it goes further on in Galatians. Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ. This is an amazing picture of this early first Christian community. You know, and sometimes I think it's very idyllic when I read it, and I go like, where is it? Maybe it's not doubting Thomas now. Maybe it's doubting Andy. Where is this Christian community? But you know, that community has spread throughout all the world. And Jesus' resurrection has changed the society in the West. There's many things, even the atheists are influenced by it. Things like human dignity, freedoms, caring for the poor, educating those in need. Those are all things that arose out of that community that were different. The resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus made that difference. It's often imitated, but never quite the same. Our secular institutions do try to build on that, but without that cornerstone of Jesus, the love, the sacrificial love, and the hope of the resurrection, it's not quite the same. And then I think of the other evidence. There are communities of faith that have grown, been around all through history. You know, one of the first ones that come to mind is St. Francis. He tried to do exactly what Jesus in the gospel said. He got rid of all his possessions, put on a sackcloth, and got a band of brothers together, and they wanted to live and serve the poor and embrace the lepers. And then his partner, St. Clair, gathered a community of women. And then I don't know how many of you have been out lately to the movies. That movie Cabrini was awesome. Mother Cabrini, our American saint, she came from Italy with her sisters to show the love of Christ to those in most need, those Italian poor, especially the orphans in New York and the Five Points area. And then after that, you know, lay people, it's not just these saints or these religious people, but Dorothy Day and Peter Morin back in the 30s, looking out for the rights of workers and those that were destitute, opening up centers, homes of hospitality, inviting anybody in, living out that first Christian community, that gospel. That's a legacy that we have today. Even in our own city, there's a Catholic worker homes. There are houses here that welcome immigrants that have no other place to go. And then there's the Peter Morin Center, which has meals regularly for those that need the meals in the community, and a place for fellowship and community. And it's a place any one of us could go to now and help out. And another manifestation of this evidence of the resurrection and this life, this community, is I'm thinking of our seminarians and Jeffrey the young men that are about to be giving their lives away, committing their lives, giving everything over to serve God and to serve the church next Saturday as they become ordained deacons. And I can look to our own parish. When I see the food drives, the Knights of Columbus distributing food, helping with the Church of Our Savior, getting food to people, coming together, the St. Vincent de Paul helping people with the utilities. These are basic needs that people have. Our prayer shawl ministry, exercising compassion, the grief and loss recovery group, our outreach groups for LGBTQ and the black, white. We just had a discussion. We brought in Esther Thomas, and we had a discussion about how can we fulfill this Christian community, this gospel message, in bringing equality and an end to discrimination and racism in our own city. And then we have our those that go out to the homebound and help and visit. And we have a school. We have a wonderful school that we support. And we do this because we're Catholic. Not necessarily because they become Catholic, but because we're Catholic and that we bring the gospel values in that community to the children and staff that are there. So I see this and I believe. No more doubting, Andy. I see this and I believe. We have great evidence for belief in Jesus and his resurrection, and this belief can lead us to new life. And we want to foster and grow that. And I also want to kind of close with a opportunity that's coming up in a couple of weeks to gather as that Christian community around our Lord. In this year of Eucharistic revival, all the churches have gotten dates assigned, but to do a solemn Eucharistic devotions. We haven't done that here in a while, but it's where we take some time each year to recognize and to be with Jesus in the Eucharist. It'll start on April 20th at the 5 o'clock Mass. We'll open with adoration and have a couple of hours of silent adoration with night prayer. And then Sunday, the next day, we'll have our Masses. We'll be preaching on the Eucharist. There'll be adoration between the Masses. And then that afternoon from 12 to 4, there'll be time to come into the church, be with Jesus. Come individually. Come with your family. Bring your group, the prayer shawl, Knights of Columbus. Come in and pray with Jesus. And then at 4, we'll have our closing with evening prayer and solemn benediction. And in what celebration wouldn't be finished without getting together for reception in the rectory to celebrate our Lord and our time with him. So I'm going to throw that out to you. If you'd like to, all are invited to participate. I am looking for people to sign up to take certain hours just to make sure we have people, and that sign-up's in the back. So much. Jesus Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.
Jesus Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.